forgiveness. I'm done by His grace. And then when we leave here, act that way. You know, often we get off into the world and we forget the blessings of serving the Lord and praising Him. And we walk back into the world and we go, if you remember, one of the most effective things for causing somebody to change what they believe, remember the survey that we looked at a little while back, was somebody who actually believed and lived out what they believed. And if Christians do that, we're going to see people come into Christ. But if our demeanor is not that way, who would want it? You see what I'm getting at? We've got to let Jesus come alive in our lives. You know, something, I'm getting ahead of myself, so if I get to it in the notes here in a few minutes, that's all right. You know, Jesus said while He was here, He said, I am the light of the world. And then as He got close to the end of His time on the earth, His comment changed a little bit. And He said, you are the light of the world. No longer me. You are the light of the world. What kind of light are we allowing to shine through us? Look at yourself. All right. You're the only one that who can, you and your wife or husband are the only ones who can honestly evaluate who you are and the difference that your Christianity has made in your life. I know I have a tendency sometimes to walk around with a frown all the time. Julie tells me that and wants me to get Botox. And I said, not in my lifetime. But perhaps I need to change that, you know? Oh, I've lost it. Yeah. My glasses are fogging up again. But the thing about it is, we are the light of the world. And you know what light does? Well, first of all, light gives direction. It gives you, if it's dark, it allows you to see in front of you. It makes things possible. Secondly, light brings warmth. Light brings warmth. I mean, how many enjoys coming up in the wintertime, coming up to a fire and standing around? You know, the burn and turn method. You stand this way and then you turn and burn again. You know, but that brings warmth. And as a photographer, I've learned this one right here. Light brings beauty. I mean, you can take pictures of just normal light and it's just kind of but you have that wonderful morning or evening light and it turns kind of a blasé photo into something magnificent when God starts adjusting all that light. So light brings beauty. We are the light of the world. Turn to the person next to you, say it to them, you are the light of the world. Now say it back to them. Folks, listen, I know we're having a good time with it, but the truth of the matter is we as Christians, we should be the ones who are just lighting up. And Jesus not only said, you are the light of the world, He said, you're like a city on the hill. So we need to be the city on the hill. You know, we just need to bring light into the world. And can we do that? Well, let's see. First of all, when we got saved, we've been forgiven. Our sins have been washed away. All that rubbish and guilt and the hurt and the pain that you've caused when you come to Jesus and you hit on your knees before the cross, He said, you are washed clean. Somebody say, praise the Lord. It's gone. Gone. Then we have the Holy Spirit of God that has moved inside of us. The Holy Spirit, yeah, has come inside. And you know what? When the Holy Spirit is really inside of us and He has got a hold of us and He's been changing things in us, then we begin to exhibit love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, self-control, faithfulness, all those things. And I'll tell you what, that would be attractive. If somebody walks around and they have all these characteristics and they're just confident in the face of adversity, the whole world could be falling apart. Yet this Christian is confident. People's going to say, what are you on about? And guess what? You have an opportunity. Well, you know, I'm trusting Jesus with my life. And hey, it's changed me. Can I tell you about it? And they say, no. Well, you know, when you're ready, let me know. We have the Holy Spirit of God living within us. Now, some people like to say, well, you know, I like to be holy. Pastor Jim Cimbala gives a good illustration about holiness. He said he was raised in a pastor's home. And I've used this before, so laugh anyway when you hear it. But one time as a young fella, he saw this lady who walked into the church. She's dressed in all black, you know, and she's walking in. And Jim Cimbala asked his father, said, what's wrong with her? Oh, she's holy. Jim Cimbala said, if that's holy, I want no part of it. Folks, we need to be alive in Jesus. We need to be excited about our Christianity. Folks, as Bill Hybels says, that the love of Jesus in our lives is the hope of the world. Nothing else is going to change this world except the love of Jesus can permeate our neighborhoods, our lives, our culture, and change it. And that's the only thing that can do that. And you know what? That's ours to do. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All of that you hated, that was such a pain, is gone. And the new life has come. We need to start living those things. And there's something else that we have as Christians that we just really need to be excited about. We have personal, direct access to the Creator of all things. He knows all things. He can do all things. He has the answer to all things. Nothing will ever surprise Him because He knows it's coming and He's ready for it. And we have personal access to Him. And He said, come in and sit a while. We can come into the throne room of God and spend time with Him and find help during difficult times. Folks, you and I can do that. You know what? We should get Babdecostal about that one. Just say, praise the Lord and hallelujah, as I shake my microphone off. We should do those things. Now, you might say, that's not my personality. True. Maybe it's not your personality. But you can also be excited and happy and bubbly about what Jesus has done for you. This song, Selah, I've got Jesus or I got saved. They started doing something, if you're savvy with the internet, you should probably do this. Look up Selah and I've got saved. And they've got this video thing that everybody's supposed to record themselves telling their story and how they're excited about how they're saved and send it in to them. This is going to be a worldwide thing, people sending in their testimony. So look it up, give your testimony. If it's good enough, maybe they'll come over and visit us or something like that. So, but here's an opportunity for you to work it out and let the world know you're excited about being saved. Folks, we need to get excited about it. And I know sometimes life gets a little bit heavy. You know, Jesus said, we are forgiven. He said he'll never leave us nor forsake us, but he didn't say it was going to be easy. Matter of fact, I think it said in the scriptures that those who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So, it didn't change Jesus' attitude when he was persecuted. So, folks, we need to be excited about our Christianity, even in the face of persecution. Folks, I'm going to use a cricketing term. I didn't know it was a cricketing term, but now I learned it since I watched the game. We need to get off the back foot of our Christian life and get on the front foot. You know, the guys, when they're on the back foot with the bat, you know, the stick, you know, and they're always just blocking. They're not wanting to score. They're just blocking. But when they get on the front foot, off you go. We need to hit some sixes in our Christian life. Folks, we need to get on the front foot. We need to move forward. People going to laugh at us? Sure. But as I often said, they're laughing at you anyway. But there's also some people that are looking for real flesh and blood examples of Christianity. And when they see that, they're just very apt to change their opinion of themselves and start following who you're following. I would much rather follow somebody who's excited about what they believe than somebody who's bored with what they believe. What do you think? What would happen if all of us here at Warhol Baptist Church got excited about our faith and started talking about it? What would happen? Well, I'm not sure. Why don't we find out? Things will start getting to be really, really exciting, I think. So, folks, now I'm calming down. Remember this. This means, here's the verse, that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. That means everything to me. The old life is gone. David, back in the Old Testament, gave his view of what God can do for him. Listen to what he said in Psalms 40. He lifted me out of the pit of despair. You ever been despairing? He said, he lifted me out of the pit of despair, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on solid ground. He steadied me as I walked along. He has given me a new song to sing, a hymn of praise to our God. I want to be like David. I want to be on the solid rock. I want to move ahead. I want to have that new song and sing that praise out there. There's a reason for that. And then David gives us the reason. And that reason is that people will hear it and be amazed and follow the Lord. They'll hear that song of praise. They'll be amazed and they'll follow the Lord. Why? Because of your song of praise. Folks, we need to get plugged in. The truth of the matter is, if we're saved, we already have the Holy Spirit. We're already plugged in. We just got the switch turned off. We need to flip the switch. We need to stop being afraid. We need to stop being ashamed. We need to stop being scared. We need to move ahead and move forward in our Christian life. Is anybody here with me? So let's just do it. Do we need to jump up and down and holler and scream? If it helps, yes, but you don't have to. But you need to, when you talk about your faith, come alive. Don't get monotone and boring. Come alive. Nobody else in this world has the reasons that we do to come alive. So let's come alive.
And if we do, many will see and be amazed, and they'll follow the Lord.
In closing, I want to look at a few people who, meeting Jesus, actually changed their life. One guy was a short fellow by the name of Zacchaeus. Remember the little song we used to sing a song about Zacchaeus? He was a wee little man, so I guess he was a short guy. He was a short guy, but he heard that Jesus was coming into town. So he was so short he couldn't see him, so he climbed up in a tree. And then whenever he climbed up in the tree and Jesus came by, and I'm sure Zacchaeus was very obvious, you know, looking at Jesus, and Jesus saw him. Jesus said, "Zacchaeus, I'm going to come to your house tonight," which caused him a heap of trouble anyway, because he said he was going to be with a sinner. Funny Jesus doing that. He said, "I'm going to come to your house, Zacchaeus." So he went to Zacchaeus' house. And during the conversation, Zacchaeus must have been one of those people who liked to talk a lot. So he made a speech. He said, "You know what? Now I'm going to give half of what I have back to the poor. And secondly, if I have stolen from anybody," and he had stolen a lot because he was the chief tax collector, which the Jews hated. He had stolen a lot. He said, "If I've taken from anybody, I've stolen from them, I'm going to give them back fourfold." And Jesus made the comment, "Salvation has come into this house." Why? There was life change. He met Jesus and his life was changed. There's a second man I want to talk about. This guy's name is Saul. You know what he was noted for? Chasing down Christians, arresting them, and throwing them into prison. Matter of fact, some Christians were actually murdered because of this guy, Saul. He was a bad dude. He was hated by the Jews. He was just the worst of the worst. And then one day he was going to some place, I think, called Damascus, and he was on the road, and he was going to arrest some more Christians. And then he met Jesus. All of a sudden, the persecutor became the preacher. The one who was imprisoning Christians became its strongest supporter. He even went so far to give his own life for his faith. Paul, or Saul, met Jesus and it changed his life. How about you? Has it really changed your life? There's another man. He was known as evil and vile. He was the worst of the worst, so much so that in his day, they encouraged him. Actually, they threw him into the Navy and take him off to sea to get him away from people. He went out there and he caused such a ruckus on the boat that they arrested him, threw in the brig, and they whipped him and all that kind of stuff. And he schemed that he was going to kill the captain and kill himself. Finally, they got him off ship and put him on another ship. And all of a sudden, he got involved in slave trading. Perhaps you know who I'm talking about now. And he was one of the bad dudes. He hated everybody, hated everything, wanted to cause trouble. And then he had a couple of near-death experiences and he met Jesus. And because he met Jesus, he influenced a lot of young men in their Christian walk, including one guy by the name of William Wilberforce, who was the one who headed up the end of the slave trade. And this man, John Newton, wrote the song, "Amazing Grace." But he got it. Listen to what he said in the first lines. "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see." You reckon Jesus changed his life? You betcha he did.
Now let's turn it to us. Has Jesus changed your life? If not, then maybe you need to revisit the cross. I was impressed by something that Billy Graham said. The cross demands a change in behavior. Does not suggest it. He said, the cross demands a change in behavior. But you know what? If he throws away the old life and he gives us a brand new life, how can we live any differently? How can we ever live the same? We need to pursue the new life and let that new life come alive in us. And remember this, folks. As a Christian, we have the power of God, the grace of God, the love of God within us. And that needs to flow through us to the people around us. Does it? Does it? That's what I want us to get at, folks. So why don't you and I, perhaps I'll stop frowning so much. Why don't you and I come alive? You reckon? I don't have a lot of people agreeing with me too much, young man. Yeah. Maybe we need another Garth Brooks song or something like that. Folks, we need to come alive. And if we ever come alive, I honestly believe God can use that to let us be a bright light in this community, and we can see people. I like what Sunday said, Billy Sunday. He said, we set ourselves on fire and people come to watch us burn. Why don't we set ourselves on the fire of the love of Jesus and people just, you know, be drawn like gnats to a fire? What's going on up there? And when they start asking, what is it? You say, come here, let me tell you about it. And tell them how Jesus changed your life. Anybody with me? Now remember, now I'm going to have to apply this myself as soon as we go out the door. Let's not forget it, all right? I found Jesus, how could I want more? Say it with me. I found Jesus, how could I want more? Let's keep that in mind, all right? Please stand. Father, we just have so much to be grateful for, so much to be thankful for. It's time we start being grateful and thankful. Start living the Christian life as people who have been redeemed and brought back from the edge of eternity and given a new life, a new opportunity. Help us to live that way. You've saved us for more than what we've been experiencing. Let us experience the best you have so we can see your Spirit alive and working in our community. Father, we ask you to light a fire in us that will burn until Jesus comes. And we can see people coming to you. We can see their lives changed. And we can know that the angels are throwing a party in heaven when people come to Jesus. So, Father, help us today, right now, to make that decision. To just come alive in our faith. To change what needs to be changed. To focus on the things that will encourage us and lift us up so we can see lives changed. We ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's sing that song. This is the day the Lord hath made. Let us do what? Do what? This is the day. This is the day that the Lord hath made. That the Lord hath made. Rejoice, we will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it.
For this is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord hath made. Enjoy your week. Okay.